There are Christians who know how to carry the Bible, quote the Bible, speak in tongues, but they don't know how to say, "Hello, how are you, boss? How are you there?" No, they will walk in, pray in tongues. The boss hardly, you do all your work very well, but you never sort of have a relationship with the boss. It's all work relationship. Never sort of something like, you know, "Hi boss, and just glad to work for you. Bye." Never, no breakthrough. At the end of the day, you go. Lunchtime comes, and you're there reading your Bible. The boss comes by and tries to strike a relationship with you. "Hey, come, you want to have lunch together?" Having my devotion, fasting. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's happening, and it's a story of your life, your working life, 365 days a year, then I think there's something wrong. You're so inward looking that you forgot the world around you. That there are people out there to whom you could sow seeds of cheer. That the joy of your life could come into their lives. You're only concerned about you and God. You and God. You and God. You and God. And you forgot simple things like saying hello. You know, some people don't really say hello to. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to greet. And perhaps it will be a different world when we do it. And when we learn to do it, how many of us would strike a hello to a stranger? Perhaps you're out walking, jogging, you see somebody coming down the road. Who smiles first? Sometimes the other guy smiles first, then he say. But why can't it be you? Well, there's this guy jogging and you're also jogging, and you go, you pass by, "Hi, hi." I used to go out to the garden outside the housing estate where I live, and used to go for my walks. There's an elderly man there, and he always walks from about 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. exactly 1 hour. Up to now, I don't even know his name. He doesn't even know my name. But every morning, when I see him, he say, "Hello." I say, "Hi." That is our only greeting. Then we will pass each other silently. We have been doing that for many months. Sometimes I don't get to go. But after a long period, I go, and I notice something. At first, it was just a smile. Then through the many months, it became, "Hello." Now, I can guarantee you, if he sees me from afar, his hand goes up, "Hi." Hello. I'm sure through time, I'm waiting to invite him for Christmas to my house. Then getting to know him more. But, that's what witnessing is about. If we don't even know how to sow a smile and sow a hello, how do you sow, "Thus says the Lord"? You must be born again. That fellow will run from you. Relationship. And we have to learn all these simple, simple things. Otherwise, we get into trials. We think people don't like us. We think our co-workers don't like us. We think our boss don't like us. It's primarily, possibly because we don't know relationships. And the trials happen. How many trials have people got into because of relationship? Well, we got to go on. Chapter 3. The third type of trials. And this is a different type, totally. And it gets closer into the sufferings of Jesus. See, Peter is trying to introduce to us what the true sufferings of Jesus are like. The third type of trials, and we'll read the verse first in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Then verse 17. For it is better if it is the will of God. See, it doesn't happen all the time, but when it's God's predetermined time for you to be tested in some things, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. It is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. The third type of trials is a real kind of persecution. You are persecuted because you want to do right. It's different from the first one. You're persecuted because of your mistakes and weaknesses. Or secondly, you're persecuted because you don't know how to relate to people. So you create situations and tensions in your office, in your home, or in any fellowship because of your own lack of relationship. Or third, which is closer now to the sufferings of Jesus, is they get persecution or trials because the people around you really are not righteous. They are people who don't obey their conscience, but you're the only one who has a conscience. Maybe it's like you're in a business and you're the only one who refuse to pay bribe, and all your other colleagues wants to do it. But because you're a Christian and you have a good conscience, you say, I can never do it because it's wrong in the sight of God. And then all the others may mock you, revile you. Say, come on, lah, you're being unrealistic. But you know it's wrong. Thank God that your country is a righteous country. It's well known for its cleanliness. Now when you begin to expand and you travel to various places, people are imperfect, administrations are imperfect, and what, here and there you have people who compromise their conscience. And you're among those who refuse to compromise your conscience. What do you get? Trials and persecutions for your good conduct. But here, there is a reward. It says here, it begins to relate to being like Christ. In chapter 3, verse 18. Now the first two types Christ never suffered. Because Christ was a perfect man. He never suffered because of his own weaknesses. He had no weaknesses. Christ never suffered because he didn't know how to relate to people. He knew how to relate to all men, for he knew all men. But it's the third type, the fourth type, and the fifth type that we're going to look at. They are closer to Christ. In chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Now we cannot exactly be like him, but you notice one principle here, that he might bring us to God. Now here is the reason why we need to hold true to that trial and our principles and our righteousness. Because by doing it, you bring those around you to God. Because when they see that you want to follow after God, you want a good conscience, in the end, they persecute you because you make them uncomfortable. And they are showing their conviction by coming against you. But in the end, that's the way to bring them into righteousness, as Christ brought us into righteousness. And then there's a statement here that can be misinterpreted in verse 19. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So here he's talking about Jesus. When he died on the cross, he entered into the depths of hell and Hades, and he preached to the spirits in prison. Now please don't misunderstand what the word means. The word preach also means to announce, to proclaim. keruxo in the Greek. He never said that he gave an invitation for them to repent. It's not here. But because we read the Bible with our concept of modern Christianity, where preach means at the end of it, you sing a hymn and you give an altar call. Just as I am without one plea. Anybody here? One more time. You want to be born again? You want to receive Jesus? Come now. Right? We do that when it's a preaching. We give opportunity. There is no invitation given here. Understand the meaning that in Hades there were all these spirits in prison, and there were two parts in Hades. As we studied before, there's a part called Abraham's bosom, and there's a part that is where Lazarus the rich man was. The rich man was, and Lazarus the poor man was with Abraham's bosom. In Luke 16 there were two parts in Hades. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that when Jesus died on the cross, chapter 27, there was an earthquake and all the graves were open, and when Jesus rose, they rose with Him. There were people who rose with Him. Ephesians chapter 4 says He took captivity captive. So what happened is, before Jesus died on the cross, all those saints except for three people, Enoch, Elijah and Moses, they were somehow translated up. All the rest, like Samuel and David and Simeon and all these others, were waiting down there in Hades, Abraham's bosom. And so when Jesus went into the midst of the earth, He went there and He proclaimed freedom and liberty. He announced whatever He said down there. The King of Glory is here! And all the prisons were shaken. And He took captivity captive. And so only those who didn't look forward to His coming were left behind. The disobedient from Noah's time. He took all the saints up. So what it means here was, He went down and He announced, He proclaimed, and He rose again with all these people coming after Him. Chapter 4, the fourth type of trial, and that's even closer to what Jesus wants it. It's deeper than the third type. The third type is you want to be right, you want to be righteous, you want to have a good conscience. And the word good conscience occurs several times in chapter 3. Now in chapter 4 it's different, in verse 13 and 14. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The fourth type of trial is much more different. That is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Is you get persecuted because you are a Christian. You get persecuted because you're identified with Christ. You get persecuted because you announce the gospel and you say, I am a Christian and I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. That the God the Father sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And all the world needs to hear that Jesus says that He is here to give eternal life. And you get persecuted of the God because of the gospel, because of the name of Jesus that you bear. Notice it's one step deeper than chapter 3. For even out there in the world, there are some people who do try to live to their conscience, even without being born again. And they also get run down by their other colleagues who may be less righteous than him or her. And so it's more to do with conduct, good conduct, being persecuted for good conduct. But in chapter 4, it's being persecuted or having a trial because you identify with Jesus. That's the most intense you could ever go into.